Today is the June 13th, 2021 meeting of Hope Bible Church. Steve Hogan's message is titled Anxiety, Worry, and Stress. If you'd like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Give button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
Our reading this morning will be from Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 32. So that is Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 32. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a little, very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these words. Just your truth, Lord, about life and how you provide for us and not to worry, and just look forward to Steve expanding on this to show us your ways that you want us to live. That's what we desire. We're here to worship you. Just help our hearts to put aside this week and what's going on and be able to concentrate, Lord, and just help Steve as he shares these truths to be clear and thank you for this opportunity. Help us to glorify you and all we are thinking and saying and doing this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. It's great to see each one of you here this morning. It's glad to be here. I want to thank you first for all your prayers. Surgery week ago Friday. And, it was really amazing. I walked into TGH as Tampa General at 10:30, and I walked out on my own power at 3 o'clock. So 4.5 hours going from admissions to pre-op to op to post-op to discharge was really a miracle. So I think it's a lot of your prayers. And the pain's probably about 85-90% gone. The internals in terms of healing is another 5-6 weeks. So I've got to be careful what I do. So it's the way here this morning. Mary Ann said, "Well, can I do anything for this week?" She says, "Yeah, you can mow the lawn." She says, "I've never done that." She's never done it. I didn't know. She never mowed the lawn before. Well, it's pretty easy. So anyway, it's good to be here. I want to just share one more thing briefly here. Is another reason we're here is because, let me back up. Friday morning, Kenny called by 8 o'clock and says, "Hey, the AC is not properly working. We have, I think, the whole big unit, but there's, I think, three separate units inside, and so one of the fans wasn't working, and so..." So I called Raphael, says, "Hey, Raphael, can you help me out here?" Because Raphael and his people are pretty inclined in mechanical things. So he said, "Sure." So him and Rubier came over, and they checked it out and found out it was a motor and things with one of the fans. And it's because otherwise, we may not be in this room because we can't stress a machine, unit like that. So anyway, they got it fixed up. So that's why we are here. But I'm very thankful to them. Raphael is construction-oriented. That's his background. I mean, he used to build yachts. I mean, he's good at that stuff. You got Rubier. He's mechanical. He understands electrical things, and so we're blessed there. You got Tommy back there. He's musical. He helps us out quite a bit. And so we really, really are blessed. And I want you to know that they have been extremely helpful in many ways. Because, in fact, they were telling me that, you know, the AC guy to come over would have been $140 an hour, you know, just to look at it, let alone repair it. And so we're just thankful. And the actual motor costs $153. And their labor is, I think, sort of free. So anyway, just to give you an idea that we're blessed to be together with them. And if you see them, say thanks, and particularly to the people like Tommy and Rubier and Raphael and others. Let's continue here. It's a subject I began a couple weeks ago. There will be some repetition today, but I'm sort of aware, and I think you know this too, that when you hear something, you know, you might remember 20% of it, maybe 30, maybe 10. And so repetition is good, but there's a lot of other things. This is an extremely important subject, one of the biggest problems that people have in life, and they can't actually see it. Is that of anxiety, worry, being nervous, being stressed out. It's a very common condition, a very common problem. Really, everybody's afflicted with it to some degree or another. And it is also a sin. As people, we can look out on the outside and we look like we're calm. But the inside, we can be very worried and anxious, like ducks on a pond. You know, you see the ducks that are floating there on the surface, and they're calm as can be. You've all seen this, right? Those ducks in the pond just floating along. You look underneath the water, what do you see? Those little web feet paddling like crazy, okay? You all know that. That's the way it is, and oftentimes we are like that, calm on the outside, but we're just eating up on the inside. What's the word anxiety mean? Verb form means to, quote, draw in different directions, to distract. Therefore, anxiety is speaking of thoughts and things and situations and people which cause you to result in you being drawn in the wrong direction, okay? That is, anxiety affects you in such a way that it is distracting, and specifically it gets your eyes off of God. And you all know this, we're to be thinking about God, focused on Him and His Word, but now we're thinking about our own problems. We're worried about our own concerns. That's what we're talking about right here. We all get anxious, but God doesn't want you to stay stuck. And you know what it means to be stuck. You're anxious about something, you can feel it in your gut, but just stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. God wants you not to really, really worry about anything. And that means big things or small. That is, He wants you then to learn how to get victory over your worries, overcome your anxieties. That's what He wants for you. So today I'm going to go through some verses, a number of verses, some that I looked at last time, 2 weeks ago, but repetition again is good. And look at some verses and look at these and see how they will help us then to deal with anxiety and worry and stress and get victory over it. First, let's go back to our main verses, 1 Peter chapter 5. We are going through 1 Peter 5, and typically I go a little faster, but I'm stuck on this verse because it is so important. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Well, it's verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Okay, that's the verse. Now, this speaks about anxiety. It's internal, and it can be an emotion. It is that which is, it's a feeling then that can be based on your thoughts. That is, just to make it very clear, as people, we think. And sometimes our thoughts can become worrisome thoughts. That is, all you're thinking isn't worrisome, but some of it becomes worrying, okay? And of course, all worry is that which starts in our thought life, okay? So thinking that then can lead to worry. And you're thinking about something. These thoughts aren't good thoughts. They're not pleasant thoughts. They're unsettling thoughts. They're upsetting thoughts. They're concerns. They're unresolved thoughts. They're problematic. They distract. They get your mind off things that you should be really thinking about. And the answer here, in the context, is that you're to be humble before the Lord. That's what you're to do. And I was like, anxiety can stem from a number of things, and I went over a whole lot of them last week. I'm just going to review a few. It can stem from your work, your workplace situation, or if you're a student, you got tests or studying. It can relate to finances. It can relate to your family. It can relate to your health. It can relate to how you look. You're worried about how you look, okay? It can relate to the traffic. It can relate to the weather. It can relate to relationships, conflicts, people in this church, out of this church, people, wherever. It can relate to conflict as well. Now, we're looking here at just verse 7. In the larger context, we see this theme of suffering is really a major theme in this book of 1 Peter. So you have to look at it in this context. And the context then is this, is that we're to be humble when we suffer. That's the point. That is, if a person is thinking about difficulties and persecution and suffering, he needs to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. He needs to humble himself under the care of God. That's what we're really saying here. But I can expand it because it says we're to not worry about anything, and we'll continue on that theme. But so the person needs to be humble before the Lord. And if he's humble, then he's not really thinking about this problem that's causing, you know, anxiety. He's not really thinking about his suffering. But instead, he is then looking to the Lord. That's the whole point. Instead of focused on this problem, this situation, this whatever it is, you're thinking about the Lord and his truth. And then what God wants to give you then is this peace. And it's a supernatural calm in your spirit, in your soul. It comes from inside. Okay? And so that's what God wants for you. You know the example, how a child will cry. He's worried and upset about something that's really concerning him, some potential danger. You all understand that. And then he's in the arms of his parents, and what happens? You've seen this, I'm sure, many times. You know, the child is crying, and the parent picks him up, and he's quiet. He's all calmed down. And that's the way God wants it for us. I really need to think about this analogy of parent to child when we think about this whole situation of being anxious. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy, a couple verses. One of them relates to the song, one of the songs we sang. I think you'll see that when we get to it here. So Deuteronomy 33:12, you can turn there if you'd like. If not, just listen in. Deuteronomy 33:12 says, of Benjamin, he said, may the beloved of the Lord dwell in security by him who shields him all the day, and he dwells between his shoulders. You all understand, if a parent is holding their child, where do they hold the child? Oftentimes, they can hold their arms, but oftentimes it's right here. And it says there, he dwells between his shoulders. Just, it's a beautiful picture there of how God wants to take care of us. 26 and 27, the same chapter. There's none like the God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to your help and through the skies to in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he drove out the enemy from before you. So here's the Lord. He's like these everlasting arms, and he races to help us, okay? And it's important to remember that in this whole context. God really, really wants to help you. So now what does this verse say? Back to 1 Peter. We're just going to work through this verse here, then look at some other verses. In verse 7, it says you're to casting, and the word cast means this. It literally means to, quote, throw something on someone or something else. That is when you cast something, you're letting it go. And it's not yours anymore. You all know the story about you have a rod and reel and you're casting that, you know, and it goes out there and the worm or whatever you got on the other end. And sometimes we talk about worry and you're reeling it back in. No, you cast it and let it go. That's the idea. Then it says you're to cast all your anxiety. This means every bit of your anxiety. So let's say you get anxious. Let's just say 20 different times for 20 different things in one day. Okay, let's just think that. You're to cast every one of those things upon the Lord. That's what it is. It's like this table, and you got all these anxieties. Okay, there's one, comes up, get rid of it. Another one, you get rid of it. Another one, you get rid of it. That is, we need to be attentive to what's going on in our mind and spirit to recognize when there's anxiety and get rid of it, cast it on the Lord. Or it can be one big pile. And what I mean by that is there's one thing that's really dominating your mind and is really consuming this one huge thing in your life, and that's what you're anxious about. You cast it all, the whole thing, whether it's big or whether it's small, whether it's one or whether it's 20 or 50 or 100, okay? That's what we're saying here. Next, it says you have to cast all your anxiety on the Lord. When you get anxious or worried about something, you can call a friend. That's fine. You can talk to a family member. That's fine. That's okay to do that. You can talk to your spouse. That's okay. But first and foremost, what are you to do? Tell the Lord. Yes. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him what you're worried about. Tell him what's bothering you. And you can only do this if you trust him, if you believe that God wants to help you and can help you. Two words here. Let's understand these. Wants to and can. It's not just a matter of God wanting to, but also he can. Not just a matter of God can, but he wants to. That is, God wanting to means he's got the desire. He's excited. He's motivated. He really wants to help you in the situation you're in. Can means what? It means the ability. He can. He can do it. Both are important in your faith in the Lord. You believe that he wants to, that he can. You have a child. Let's say he's a five-year-old child. He's got parents and they're good parents, you know. And so the child has got a problem. He goes to the parents. Why? Because he believes that the parents want to help him, that love him, and he believes that the parents can help him. Okay? That's a normal course in a good family situation. And that's how God wants it with us and him. Number four, cast all your anxiety on the Lord because he cares for you. This last phrase, he cares for you. God cares for people. He does. He's concerned. He's interested. He wants to help, and he can help. He can give you the peace. He can help you in that problem. He can make that problem go away or help you to deal with it, whatever it might be. That is, the problem may not go away, but at least he gives you the peace and grace to deal with it, okay? He can do those things. So it's believing that God cares for you. And so he cares for you. And this is personal. God is a very personal God. He personally cares for you. He cares for individual people, individual Christians. And this is where so much of it hits. It has to hit home. You believing that God cares for you. You believe in that. Because oftentimes things happen, and we think, man, God sure don't care for me. A lot of things happen. You don't care what I'm going through. And we got to get past that. We have to believe by faith that he cares for you. Whatever situation, whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty, he really, really does care for you. Concerned about your welfare and well-being. Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. A verse that depicts this care that the Lord has for us. Keep me as the apple of your eye. A phrase that means we are super special to the Lord. That's what we're saying. And we need to have that, need to understand that, need to believe that. And when you know God cares for you and that he wants to help you and that he can help you, then you will trust him and cast your cares on him. You see, understand? When you believe that God cares for you and wants to help and can help, that's when you will turn to him. And only then will you then experience his grace and peace and comfort. And again, I must say, this is a very personal thing. I'll come back to this again, knowing that the Lord loves you individually, personally, and that he cares for you, and he wants to help you in whatever situation that you're going through. It says in Hebrews 4:16, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. So time of need is a real key phrase there. Time of need. Is that a once a week thing? Is that a Sunday morning thing? Is that a Wednesday night thing? It's an everyday thing. You have times of need every day. I know what I'm like. I've talked to you. I know what people are like. You have times of need every day. And what we're talking about here, getting victory over worry, is learning to go to the Lord in your time of need. Being humble. Seeing that you can't do it yourself. Oftentimes worry is you trying to figure things out on your own. Being humble, say, God, I can't do it. You got to help me. You got to help me. And that's what he wants to do. Next verse. Let's move on from 1 Peter, Psalm 55. Again, most of these verses we mentioned at least briefly last time. Psalm 55, verse 22. This whole psalm is about how David's going through problems. In fact, you look at the psalms, it seems so many of the psalms is David having these different problems. But this is the verse I believe Peter was thinking about when he wrote 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It says you're to cast your burdens, things which are on your mind and are spiritually and emotionally speaking then weighing you down. That is putting pressure on your soul. So this connection, there's things that you're thinking about that then affects your soul and you become worried about. Pressures on your mind that are weighing down your soul. God gives two promises here. Two promises. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. God wants to sustain you. He'll keep you going. That is, you have this particular problem, okay? It may not be that he takes it away. Sometimes he does take the problem away. Sometimes he doesn't. But he will sustain you. He'll keep you going. He will give you the grace and peace to endure the situation that you're going through. That's what we're talking about. Sometimes these anxieties can be very short-lived. We talked about traffic last week. You're on Dale Mabry, you know, and you're in some kind of traffic problem. You tense up. You're worried, okay? You're in the dentist chair for an hour. It's an hour thing, okay? You're a little bit anxious about being in the dentist chair and that drill or whatever they're doing to your mouth, okay? You're anxious. Short-lived. It can be, we're hurricane season, okay? You know, let's say some hurricanes there in the Atlantic or in the Caribbean or whatever, you know, and it's coming our way. You see we're in the cone of air, you know, and the spaghetti lines are sort of heading towards Tampa, you know, and it says it's about 5 days away. That's 5 days of potential worry, right? It shouldn't be that way. That's the way it is. That your mind is in the state of flux about worrying for 5 days until the thing is gone, whatever, whether it's moved away or passed by, whatever. You understand. Maybe that you're anxious about your children and how they're doing. Most parents have children, 20s, 30s, children. They'll have their children then for anywhere from 40 to 50 to 60 years. That's what happens, okay? And some have said, children out of sight, out of mind. Yes and no. Yes and no. Children out of mind, but most parents, and maybe more so mothers, maybe I shouldn't say that, but I think I'll say that. Mothers more so, I'm not saying worrying, but more so thinking and caring about their children. And it's just a normal thing. But you don't want those thoughts then to go to worries, okay? But I know this. I've talked to many parents with children that are out of the house, and it can be a worrisome thing. And God wants us to trust him. The point is this, is that you're to keep casting your burden upon the Lord. As I said before, sometimes he takes it away, and sometimes he just gives you the grace to endure it, to make it through it, no matter what it is. No matter how big it is, or how small it is, or how long it lasts. That's what we're talking about here. Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, the God who is our salvation. Again, we talked about this daily thing, not just a weekly thing. It's a daily thing. You will have burdens, I believe, every day of the week. That's just the way life is. So the first thing is that God wants to sustain you. The second thing says there, he'll never allow the righteous to be shaken. It's a great promise. Whatever problem you have, whatever things might come your way, God never wants you, his child, to be shaken. Yes, you may initially face that problem, but he doesn't want you to stay in this shaken, nervous, fearful mode. Again, we have that picture of a child, and the mother hears the child cry. She gets the child. She picks the child up. She holds the child. She comforts the child. The child stops crying, okay? What the mom doesn't want is for the child to keep crying, right? I mean, partly for her own sanity. You know, man, I got to pick this child up because I can't handle this crying all the time. But partly because she cares for the child, okay? And so the same with us in the Lord. We are to come to him. We are to cry to him. We are to cast our cares upon him, knowing that he wants to sustain us and keep us then from being ones who are shaken by whatever's going on. Next verse, Matthew chapter 6. We looked at this before. Bruce, in the reading, read sort of the companion verses to that, the parallel ones, very similar thoughts. I'm going to read through this whole section here. Matthew 6, 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I just want to sum up some of the principal thoughts in this verse. First of all, we can worry about our basic needs. like what we eat or drink. We can also worry about our clothes. We can also worry about the future. Now, yes, there are Christians in this world who don't have enough food to eat. We all understand that. That's not true in this country here, but there are Christians in this world. And their worries are based on real needs. Real needs. But they're still not to worry. I say that because some things that people worry about are rational. Some are irrational, okay? And in fact, I'm not going a lot here because I know there's a lot of different thoughts on it, but I'll share my opinions if you don't like it. That's the way it is. But we've had this COVID thing for 15 months, right? And I would suggest to you there's been a lot of legitimate fear and illegitimate, irrational fear, okay? Now, here's my example. Now, if you don't like this, fine. This is simple. I've seen people running outside, biking outside, taking a walk, nobody around, and they got a mask on. I says, what is wrong? What is wrong? There's no bugs going to get them, no viruses from 100 feet away. The science says that. It proves that. But I see, I says, what's going on in their thinking? So it just concerns me, but that's just one little example. There's many things as people, and it's probably good to think about this when you worry about something. Is this something really to even worry about? Not that you should worry about it, but even to think about, you see. So that's important to understand. But here it says these are real needs. And again, a point I want to make is that people worry about all kinds of things. And you know this about yourself, at least I think you do, that it can be the littlest of things. But whether it's little or big or whatever it is, you are not to worry. That's what God wants you not to do. Second, it doesn't do you any good to worry. Not a bit of good. Worrying doesn't help, right? Have you ever seen where your worrying helps? Now, thinking through a situation can be helpful, but when that moves into worrisome thoughts, that is not helpful. It doesn't solve a thing. Doesn't make you feel better. Doesn't help anybody else. It doesn't do any good. Worrying does you absolutely no good. In fact, there's many studies that show that worry, really, anxiety, stress, contributes to a lot of health problems, okay? That's the truth. It really affects us physiologically, internally. Thirdly, and this is probably the major point of this whole section of verses and what Bruce read in Luke 12. Worrying about the little things in life, or anything for that matter, keeps you from doing what God wants you to do. It keeps you from carrying out God's plans for life. It prevents you from doing that. That's the point here. And so you're not to worry. But rather, what's the verse say, particularly verse 33? You're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And this is what Luke chapter 12 talked about too, that God wants to give us the kingdom. You're a Christian, right? As a Christian, you're not to worry about worldly things. You're not to worry about fleshly things. You're not to do that. But what are you to do? What does it say? You're to, you know, to pray to the Lord about the kingdom. You're to set your mind on the kingdom. You're to work for the kingdom. You're to seek first the kingdom of God. That's what he said. That is so clear in these verses. Because on one hand, I can say here, or God can say to you, don't worry. But what do you replace that with? If you're not to be worrying, what are you to be doing? What's to be occupying your thoughts and your mind? It's the kingdom of God. That's it. And so instead of spending all this mental and emotional energy on the small things of life, on the things that aren't that really important, then you need to focus on what's most important, and that's the kingdom of God. Now, an example that doesn't exactly relate, but I think it relates enough that I can share. It's Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4, Jonah had been in Nineveh in chapter 3 and preaching, and a lot of people turned to the Lord. And chapter 4, he's outside the city. He's still upset because, you know, God isn't judging the city because it's extremely wicked, wicked, wicked. There's a lot of stories about the wickedness of Nineveh. And Jonah wanted God to judge him. So he's out there, and his little vine that God caused to grow up grows up, and this little worm eats the vine. He's all mad. It says he's upset. He said he's angry. I'm angry enough to die, okay, because of my little vine. And so, but I think there's just some probably worry and all this stuff together. But the point is, he was so mad, and then God, one of the last verses of the whole book says, hey, there's 120,000 people in that city that can't tell the right hand from the left hand, and animals too. Aren't you concerned about them? You're thinking about yourself. But that principally is what we're talking about here. When you're worried, you're focused on yourself, on your own problem. You're not thinking about what God wants you to really think about, the kingdom of God. That's what we're saying. Next one, a person who's worrying isn't trusting God. he has little or no faith. Here in this verse, it says this person can have little faith. And all Christians have a little bit of faith, okay? And God wants us as Christians all to be growing in our faith. But when we worry, we're trusting ourselves, others, or things, okay? That's the way it is. You're trying to figure it out yourself, or you're trusting other people, or trusting things. And a classic example of things is this. This is probably one of the biggies. For sure, it's true with unbelievers and for believers as well to some degree. Finances, your money, your accounts, how much money's in the bank, how work's going, how much cash you got around, how your Bitcoin's doing it. I don't think you're into that. Maybe some of you are. Whatever. You're worried about your money. Okay? It's huge. And you're trusting your money. It's people, the security. People think they're secure because I got this account. This will take care of me. It's not true. Proverbs 23:5, I like this. It says, riches certainly make themselves wings, and like an eagle they fly off to heaven. Riches certainly make themselves wings and fly off like an eagle to heaven. So it doesn't do any good. We need to trust God. We need to rely on Him, believe that He will take care of us, that He will give us the peace, that He'll give us the grace, the strength to endure, to get through whatever we are going through. Next verse, Mark chapter 4, it relates to this point here of trusting God. It's a wonderful little story, true story. Jesus' disciples, Mark 4:35, on that day when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." The wind died down, became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So here's this storm. On the one hand, you could say, well, this is rational. This is the basis for rational, quote, rational fear, right? There's a real storm. There's a real problem, a hurricane or whatever. It's real. It's true. But they still shouldn't have worried. That's the point. Here, these disciples are children of God, disciples of Christ, and they should have known that God wanted to take care of them. In fact, God was in the boat. So they're looking at the problems. Finally, wits end. Let's wake up Jesus, okay? They wake him up. And, of course, he takes care of the storm. We understand that. But the point is this, is they weren't trusting him. That was the thing. Why are you afraid? You still have no faith. Here it says no faith. Not little faith, no faith. This is no faith example. And no faith. And so God says, no, you're not trusting me. So when you think about it, the whole thing of worry, again, let's make sure you see this. Back up a little bit. Is that if you're worrying, it's because you're lacking faith in God. That's what it comes down to. You're not trusting him with a particular situation. And God has got to help you. And sometimes, I'll say this now. Sometimes you've heard that phrase, that you say that person's a worry wart. That worry is a huge, huge part of their life. And it dominates so much of their life. And on one hand, it's like Jesus is saying here, the disciples, like, stop worrying. And God would say, well, stop worrying. Stop it. So you're worrying, and you know how the worry sort of gnaw at you sometime, and you know, I shouldn't worry, and you keep worrying, and it keeps going, and stop worrying. You might talk to yourself or hear God, because God, you know what to say here? Jesus rebuked them. And to be honest, when we're worrying sometimes, I can't help but think that the Lord is rebuking us for our lack of faith. So we need to see this as an important thing, not just minor. Okay, that's all right, you little disciples, I'll be all right. No, stop worrying. Stop it. But the thing I want to say is sometimes, and back up my previous point here, sometimes it's so ingrained in us to stop it, and you've been doing it for 40, 50, 60 years, it's not going to happen overnight. It will not. That's why looking at all these principles that I'm talking about here are very important. Let me say this. If any of you here are younger, deal with it now. If you go in your 30s, 40s, and 50s, and you're still worrying, it's a lot harder. It's ingrained. And sometimes I think some people, I don't think they're ever going to get victory. I think it's so ingrained. There's such a deep rut in their heart and soul, this worry. It's not going to happen. Now, I shouldn't be unbelieving like that, but that's partly true, okay? So when you're young, deal with it. That's what God wants for your life. Luke 10, continue on, next passage, Luke chapter 10. Again, we looked at these, but I think looking at them again is important to get this truth ingrained in our mind and in our souls as well. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all this serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Just a few points here, just to help us out. Read about anxiety, and this is what we need to learn. First of all, Martha was preparing this meal, and Jesus says she was worried about many things. So it wasn't just one thing. And this goes back to what we said before. Sometimes in your mind and heart, there's a lot of things that are piling up. Like last night, we had spaghetti, you know, this kind of example. Spaghetti's all mixed together, right? You got all these worries. It's hard to entangle. Well, but sometimes, God wants us to entangle things. And sometimes, if you have real problems, you might need it. Lord, really help me. And you really pray. And you might even ask somebody else that you truly trust, some friend. You know, I'm worried about these things. Can you help me to figure out what's going on in my mind? And so you ask for help. It's good. Untangle the spaghetti worries in your heart, okay? That's what we're saying. And so she's worried about many, many things are piling up in her mind and soul. Secondly, Martha was distracted. We talked before about this, how worries are those kind of things that can distract us from the Lord. And she was worried about these things, but she wasn't thinking about the Lord. And yes, it is fine to serve. It's fine to make all these preparations. It's fine to do that. But Martha was consumed with her serving so much so that she was worried about it. And these anxious thoughts then kept her from thinking about the Lord. Now, some might say, well, she should have been sitting with Mary at the Lord's feet. Well, that's true. That may be true, but it doesn't say that. I don't think that's the main point. But she wasn't hearing the Lord, okay? I mean, I tend to think that she was in the same room or the next room, okay? And if her mind and soul was cleared of worries, I think she would have been hearing Jesus. But because her mind was so filled up with worry, she wasn't. And that's what happened to us. Our minds are filled up with all these worrisome thoughts. We're not thinking about the Lord and what he wants to say to us. That's what we're saying here. The verse I mentioned last week, Psalm 1:2, about how we're to meditate on the Lord's word. Meditate is just a nice word to think. We're to be thinking about the Lord's word. Now, Martha was thinking about her serving. And it wasn't her serving again, but the anxiety about her serving that kept her from doing what God wanted. So you can be serving, but sometimes you get anxious about the work we're doing, even doing for the Lord. Just don't get anxious. Don't do that. Don't worry. Just focus on me. The next thing, and this relates to the many things, you have many things she was worried about, but the one thing that's necessary is that we're to be focused on the Lord, thinking about him. That's what's important. And particularly then, right, the last verse, Psalm 1:2, we need to be thinking about the Word of God. And as the Word of God then is central and foundational in our heart, then it's the Word of God then that helps us to eliminate these worries. So I cannot stress enough, I'll say a little more about this a little bit later. The Word of God is key. The truths and principles we're talking about here and other truths as well are really key to you then being one who is not worrying. This verse here, Luke chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. It's a story, the parable about the four kinds of soils. Verse 14, it says, "A seed," or the word, "which fell among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." The example being very clear that if you're one who's worried, you're not going to be a fruitful person. Very clear. The next verse, but the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who've heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Understanding then, worries in your heart will push the word of God out of your heart or prevent the word of God from getting into your heart. So important that we see this, the detriment, this problem with worry. Philippians, next verse, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. What I'm doing here today and 2 weeks ago is I'm really going over the key verses. The verses we are looking at are the key verses in the New Testament. There may be one or two more, but I don't know if there are. I tried to find them all. So these are the verses, okay? Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Two main thoughts here. First of all, you're not to be anxious at all. Again, we all know you can start to be anxious about something. You all understand that. He says, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't even realize we're worrying about something or we're starting into this anxiety mode. We don't even realize it, okay? I think you understand that too. But what God says, you don't want to worry. That means that once you start being anxious, learn to stop it right away. Cut it off. That's the point here. Don't let it fester. Don't let it infect. Don't let it continue on. So that's the point here, not to be anxious about anything. And again, I said before, you may have legitimate concerns, some real concerns that are, you know, may relate to, quote, I say, quote, rational fears. But the bottom line is you're not to be worried about anything, not stuck in your worrying. Second, you're to pray. And you're to pray specifically, asking God for his wisdom, his help, his answers, his peace with regard to the particular things you're going through. Ask God. So first thing is pray specifically. And the second thing is pray believingly. That is believing and expecting and trusting God to come through for you, okay? And again, this really hits at the heart of so much. I cannot help but think that probably every one of you here, you've been worried about something, concerned, and you pray and it just doesn't go away. Has that ever happened to you? And God wants it to, okay? And so I'm not going to delve into all what does that all mean, but the point is that God wants us to learn to get victory and to really trust him. And so I praying that is trusting him. Second Chronicles 20, which I'm not going to go through now, but verses 1 to 13, but the first 20, 30 verses are great. It's a great example. Let me sum up what's going on here. You have King Jehoshaphat. The people were afraid. They had heard that this huge, huge enemy was coming against them, okay? They're in their city. They're in their town. And they hear, and maybe the scouting wasn't very good that day because it's like they're pretty close to their doorstep. He says, whoa, what happened? You know, they're right there. So Jehoshaphat, it says, you know, he's afraid, and so he prays. But then what he does, he calls all of Judah together. And I don't know how many thousands came into Jerusalem to pray. But they prayed. They sought the Lord. What you see in 2 Chronicles 20, and it's a classic chapter, is that their prayer is based on the person and character of God. That is, your prayer has to be based on who God is, that he is powerful and he is wonderful and loving and wise and he can defeat the enemy. All these things are so, so important. So when you know God's character, then you'll be able to pray and have faith. And faith, that's a faith of a confident faith, a faith of conviction, a real, real believing. So, so important. In fact, I was thinking about this yesterday, maybe today, is after 1 Peter's over, because hopefully we'll be done 1 Peter in another 3 or 4 weeks, I want to go over some solo subjects for another 4, 6, 8 weeks after that. And one of them is the character of God. And I like to do it about everywhere. It's so important. We have to have the character of God deep in our hearts. So faith relates to knowing the character of God. The classic verse on that is Psalm 9:10. Those who know thy name, name meaning character of God, those who know the character of God will put their trust in thee. Knowing the character of God is central. What's also important is knowing God's promises. And I could go for a long time in this. I'm going to make this real quick, sum it up here. Is promises also are very key. I'm going to give you 5 examples. I didn't give you the verse reference, but these are 5 examples. I got verses for all of them. You believe that God's is working all things together for good. You just believe that, okay? That's one promise. 2, you believe that God is with you. He's with you. You're not alone. You believe that God can protect you. You believe that God can care for you. You believe that God can lead you. There's just 5. The thing I want to say is this, is if you're, and this might be a good thing to do, You know, if you go along and he says, you know, the Lord's speaking today, and I do have a little issue with these worries, and so you go home and you're looking at the verses, says, you know, I'm going to write down some of my worries. So you write them down. Sometimes, for me anyway, some people like this. I have to get things off my mind in a paper. I mean, sometimes I'll wake up at 3 in the morning. That happens once in a while, probably every week. And I go to my office. I start writing things down. It's just on my mind. It's got to get on the paper. You get the worry on your paper, and then you put down a verse. What verse counters this worry? Okay, and there's many other examples. I'm just mentioned a few here. I'll just say this quickly. I didn't tell you this, Marcia, but Marcia does a email thing where she sends out a promise or a truth a day. If you want to be in that promise or truth a day thing, talk to Marcia, and she'll just put you on the email list. But it's good because we need to be reminded about the promises and the truths of God, and they, again, are key and central to getting victory over worry. Third point of this, Philippians 4, you're to be thankful. Thank God that he's sovereign. Thank God that he's in control. Thank God that he is not surprised by whatever situation comes your way that you face or just sort of seems to happen in your life. He is sovereign. Thank God that he wants to help you and that he can help you and that he will. I call that the DCW. I've thought of it for 40 years. Does, can, and will. Does want to help, can help, and will help you. And thirdly then, thank the Lord that this is all for your good. Whatever you go through is really ultimately for your good and for God's purposes and for God's glory. The fourth point here is God will give you peace. Supernatural peace of God. And sometimes, and I've tried this, you know, okay, Steve, you got to be peaceful. And you get worried. Or just, can you be peaceful? Work. You can't work this up. I mean, I know there are different religions that talk about meditation. And I'm not going to go into that, but there's that meditate on this word and just sit there and be calm and think about this word called peace. Just think about it. That's baloney. You need God and his spirit and his word. That's what you need, okay? It's not that other stuff. So the point is, God really wants to give you, and the Bible says really clearly, this is Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's the peace of God, Philippians 4, that surpasses. It's the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. It is a real, true thing that God can invade your heart and soul with his peace. He can do this, okay? That's what we're talking about. So you can be calm in the middle of a storm. That's what he wants for you. And so if you're anxious, worried about something, God wants to give you peace. That's what he wants. You can think, no, I'm supposed to worry. In fact, sometimes I think people think, well, I need to worry about this for a day or two. I'm serious. I think some people are in that mode. I need to worry about this. You don't need to worry at all. You can think about it and pray about it and get counsel, but don't worry about it. Okay? Very simple. Very important subject. So apply these truths to your life. We've gone over a lot of things. Again, this whole, all my notes. Sermon audio will be up in another day or two. You can download it there, the PDF. If you don't have it, I'll mail it. This past week, I mailed two of my last messages, the full message, to people that wanted them that don't have internet. So if you can't get it, I'll mail it to you. Don't worry about that. We say don't worry all the time. Anyway, but that's really helpful. All the messages are there so you can read it because, again, you don't always remember everything you hear. Final verse, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We bless you for your great love, your kindness for each of us here. We all have, at least to some degree, this problem of worry. It just happens. It's like we don't have to plan it out. It just happens as we're going through the day. I pray you'd help us to be trained, more sensitive, more cognizant of when these worries come our way, be better at going to you right away. Lord, we start worrying and thinking about things. We just need to go to you. Help us, God. Train us, Lord, to be in your word, to get promises and truth. And if we need prayer or help from others, help us to be humble and be willing to get that as well. But thank you so much for everyone here. Thank you for the lives you give us, God. I just bless you, Lord, even for helping my surgery and everyone here. In their situations, there are different people there have health problems. Help them wherever they're at and their situations, whatever, God, we ask you to lead us and guide us and use us for your purposes and glory. That's what we desire. That's what we want. Thank you again now. We want to commit all this to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.